the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Cloud once again. Welcome to our Torah tidbit. This time, the tidbit is taken from the portion called Nitzavim, which means standing. And it's referring to the fact that as Israel prepared to enter the land, they stood before Moses and they heard the last of his instructions given to them. And it begins in verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 29. All of you stand, and that Hebrew word there is Nitzavim. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself. And then it goes on from there. Now, according to Jewish tradition, this particular Torah portion begins on what would be the last day of Moses' life. And what he shared with them at this point comes on the heels of the frightful warnings that he gave them in Deuteronomy 28 and in Deuteronomy 29. And so the people were, as you might guess, terribly alarmed. So then, according to rabbinical tradition, Moses on this day assured them that despite their previous sins, and in spite of the fact that they were going to do other things in the future, that nevertheless they were still standing before the Lord, and the promise that had been made to them was within their reach. They're poised to go into the land. And so then this portion, as we began, demonstrates that God is merciful to his people, and he permits them to stand before him in sight of their promise. And furthermore, no one in the congregation, or the family, if I can put it that way, is left out of that promise. Because notice that even the little ones are mentioned here, as were the strangers. But the little ones are mentioned, and they're included in this particular address, because as the offspring, or shall we say, the fruit of that particular generation, these offspring were to be given the responsibility to carry on after the older generation had passed away. And so then in the future, it would be their responsibility to propagate the message that had been delivered to their fathers so that the promise might be sustained and that the promise might be fulfilled in future generations. Rabbinical commentary likens parents to trees and their children as the branches of those trees. And so then the obvious conclusion of the matter would be that those branches are where one would expect to find the fruit. And so the potential exists for all of the branches of those trees to produce fruit, and for this reason, in this context, that others might partake of it, that the fruit would be so plentiful that others would find it easily accessible and within their reach. And so then in this manner, the mandate that was given to Israel would propagate and it would spread to other nations. And so then, all of Israel, young and old, were standing before the Lord to hear the instructions, the words of the covenant, and the mission that had been given to them. Now, this observation brings this thought to mind. Future generations are already in their parents and will eventually bear the fruit of that parental tree. We can see this concept in other places in the scripture, and one example is found in the book of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews said that Levi, the son of Jacob, paid tithes while he was still in the loins of Abraham. And so Levi was the branch that came from the tree that is Abraham, so to speak, and that branch, Levi, bore fruit. And so then, this example is why it is so important that the pure seed gives birth to that tree and that the purity of that seed is then passed down to future generations. So young and old were hearing the words of Moses, because the end result is to be that the fruit will be pure and the seed within that fruit will be pure. And so the idea here is like kind producing like kind, whose seed is in itself. Now, for believers, this concept is demonstrated more dramatically in the words of Yeshua, who said this in the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. In other words, the Messiah, who is the incorruptible seed, that incorruptible seed grows into the tree, or in this case, the vine. And then we are considered the children, that is, the branches. And we are charged with producing the fruit. Again, like kind producing like kind, whose seed is in itself. And so we, the branches, are in him as a child is in a parent, or the tree. So it's important that we first be born again of that incorruptible seed, and that we continue to stand before the Lord to hear and internalize His instructions, and not just for our sake, but for the sake of future generations, those not yet born. And that brings us back to our Torah portion and what Moses had to say about those still unborn generations. We find this in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 14 and 15. I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. And so Moses' words, which were really the covenant, was presented to those who were present 3,500 years ago and to those who were not present. In other words, future generations, our generation included. I think we should also deduce from this that if that generation was standing before the Lord, they were standing there and they were hearing the words, they were receiving the covenant, that we too should be standing ready to receive the Lord's instructions. And this would also imply that if God was long-suffering with them, He has and He will be long-suffering with you and me as well. And so it's important that we continue to stand. I mean, if after all they had done in times past, I mean, think of the golden calf here, think of the strife at the waters of Meribah, all of those things that they were guilty of, if He had been patient with them, long-suffering with them as a nation, and they were still standing and ready to possess the land of promise, it would suggest to future generations, ours included, that in spite of our past sins, God will not abandon us, and He will bring us to the place that we too can be standing before Him, ready to realize the promise that He has made to us. Of course, that is not to suggest that we can just go out and sin and do whatever we want to and still expect a good outcome. No, if we sin, then repentance is a prerequisite if we are to realize the blessing. And according to what we've read in times past, sometimes repentance is provoked only by punishment, the kind that we read of in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 9. Even though sometimes harsh, these punishments that are meted out by God are intended not to destroy us, but to restore us. And that point is made abundantly clear in this Torah portion when Moses says this in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 1. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey His voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and will have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. So, the point we wanted to make here is He's long-suffering. He was with them, and He is with us. And so then, this verse that we read says to me that those future generations, from Moses' point of view, those who weren't there to hear what Moses said, would nonetheless fulfill what Moses said. They would be the ones who would return to God and who would one day stand before the Lord. They would receive His words with all of their heart and with all of their soul, and would, like their fathers before them, possess the land of promise. Now, for this to come to pass, Moses makes it very clear that this is easily attainable and it's accessible to anyone who desires it, because he said this in verses 11 through 14. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who's going to go over the sea for us, and who's going to bring it back to us, that we may hear it and that we may do it? But, Moses says, the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Now, what he's really saying here is all these things that we've been discussing, it's really not so hard to understand. Even though theology tries to make it so, it's not some abstract or esoteric thing teachings like the heathen mystery religions love to employ. Actually, it's very simple to figure out. It's common sense. It's as easy as understanding that a seed grows into a tree, and the tree produces branches, and those branches produce fruit. And if it's a pure seed there, it's going to produce the right kind of fruit, like kind producing like kind. Of course, the Word of God is the seed, and it's in your mouth and in your heart, which is where it's supposed to be. You see, the believer is to carry the Word with him everywhere he goes, so that he is capable of producing fruit for others to reach out and partake of. Furthermore, the Word, the seed, is in me to perform what Moses spoke of. That is, to provoke me to turn to God with all of my heart and all of my soul. And finally, the Messiah, who is that incorruptible seed, if in your heart, will never leave you or forsake you. He will always give you strength to overcome, and despite any past mistakes, or even future mistakes, still enable you to stand before the Lord your God, blameless and without condemnation. Paul addressed this, in fact, quoting Moses when he said this in Romans chapter 10. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? He's quoting Moses from our Torah portion, and he means by that is to bring Messiah down from above, or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? The Word, which is a seed, remember. The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Or let's put it this way. I've done a lot of things in my life that merit death, but thanks be to God, because of the Messiah Yeshua, and his mercy, and his compassion, and his long-suffering, and his forgiveness, I'm still standing. And that's what I intend to do in days ahead. Well, that's it for this week's Torah portion. Thanks for joining me. Till next time, Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BuildCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BuildCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.